been trying to talk with the Lord a little bit, and this vision I had a few nights ago. I'd had a vision that my hands was wounded and bleeding, and I was trying to cover the tapes that we was putting out with blood everywhere I put my hands, and bloody. And seemed like in the vision it was necessary that they be covered with blood from my hands. And then last night I had a vision, and in this vision I'd been shot so many times, people had just lined up to shoot me, and they intend to kill me. They were doing their very best in their dream, in the vision, night vision. They were doing their very best to kill me. They wanted to shoot me in the head, but I had managed to keep them from shooting me in the head. But they had shot me all through the body, and I was bleeding. I was bleeding to death. And I had a few of my people there, and they were being lined up to be shot too. They were planning to shoot them too. And about the time that they made plans to shoot them, some kind of a supernatural strength came on me, and I was elevated like a bird up into the air, and I could fly. And I thought I called to my people, and those that were my people listened to me, and they rose up into the air too, like birds in flight. And they followed me, and they were able by that supernatural strength to rise up. And I took them off a great distance to where it was as though it was behind a fence or a high-powered wire or something. And by that, they were saved. I remember telling them, I said, "Now you're saved. Nobody can hurt you anymore." But I couldn't go behind there. I thought I had to remain out front, and they was coming again, following. They were coming again to shoot me. I still had to remain out front to where I'd be shot at until they would eventually kill me unless the Lord undertook. So I settled back down to earth when I got them saved, and it was for the others to come to continue shooting. But anyway, the people were saved. Every one of them that followed me was saved. And I really believe that those that have listened to us, I really believe that they have been elevated up into the Spirit. And I believe that they have come to a place of safety. I know that the world, as we say, has been shooting at them or trying to shoot at them. But in spite of that, through all that's happened, the Lord raising it up through TV and radio and newspaper and the printed page and whatever, bringing it out, He has cleared the mud away to where our people are respected and loved rather than shot at. And as far as living godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible said you'll suffer persecution. But otherwise, everything seems to be fine. And we still are receiving excellent reports through mail and just numbers of reports from individuals that are reporting that people are watching the TV program and that they're really thoroughly enjoying it. And as a matter of fact, we received a letter even from Avis, from down where Brother Chalinim, Chalinim's at, and they're at Red's place, and Avis stated that they had been watching the television program and had really enjoyed it, and expressed how thrilled she was at the appearance of the sanctuary, saying that the brethren had done so much to the sanctuary to beautify it since they had been gone. But anyway, the Lord is still blessing and still helping us. So that's what we are thankful for. I really feel like that the people are saved. If they really followed, conscientiously followed, I feel like they're saved. And feel like that they can continue to be blessed and God can do great things for them if they will continue on with the Lord. Okay, I think we'll change the order of the service. And I think I'll just talk with you a little bit. Will it be all right if we just discuss the scriptures a little bit? You can bring it up. I don't know whether we'll get to it or not, but you can't ever tell. It just depends on the way everything goes. I want to say again that I really appreciate my people, and I really thank God for every one of them. All of my people, I appreciate them. If I can do anything to help them, I want to help them. That's my desire. I don't want to take from them, I want to give to them. Not only means of natural bread and help, and the things that we build and the things that we have here at the campground, but I want to give to them a ministry of reaching the lost. And I want to share with them in every possible way that I know how to share. I want to give to them eternal life. Because that is the desire of God, is that they have eternal life. And I want to see them happy, healthy, well, loving one another. Not hypocritical, not making believe, and not just a religious bunch of people, but godly people. Not a bunch of people like the Jews that fast and pray a little bit, that's self-righteous and thinks everybody else is beneath their notice. But somebody that esteems others better than themselves and looks on the things of the others. Esteeming each other better than themselves in that they esteem each other to be none other than the body of Jesus Christ itself. Submitting themselves one to another as unto the Lord Jesus himself. In that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh with royal blood flowing through our veins. A royal priesthood that is made to intercede for the people during the absence of the natural body of the Lord Jesus. We being the members, him being the head. And as in the Old Testament, or under the old law it was, they beheaded the people. That was a supreme judgment, a capital punishment. And they beheaded the people. And that's the way it has been with the church. From the time of John, we might say, the church has been beheaded. The Jews being the church in the wilderness, they killed their own head. They didn't quite understand the words of Pilate when he said, "Would you crucify your king?" They said, "He's not our king." But they killed their head and they died. The membership died. And they're in darkness. They're out of the presence of God since Calvary. And the skin worms are about to work in the flesh. We've used this term that after about 2 or 3 days, corruption sets in. But with God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Which means that it's only been, or soon will be, 2,000 years since Calvary. And the third day, which is the millennium, before corruption sets in, Jesus brings the Jews forth before the skin worms, which is Antichrist and his people, can tear into them. Brings them forth. And in so doing, the head, the natural Jesus, is restored to the natural church. And so it is with us, being members of his body in that time, the Christ himself will gather his spiritual body and the head will return. Until that time, we've been baptized into his death. We have put on Christ, and we are awaiting the coming of our Lord and Savior, the Christ, the great mind of spirit and revelation that will resurrect us from the dead. Reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, rather, by the body of Christ, and alive unto God. All right, now, let's read just a little bit from over in the book of St. Matthew's. In the 10th chapter, beginning to at the first verse, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." All right, now, he goes on to name his disciples here. It says just before this verse that Jesus went about through the village teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when you say the gospel of the kingdom, you're really touching on a subject. You know, the Bible teaches that the gospel must first be published in all of the world for a witness. Then shall the end come. Now, we could say, well, Brother Pike, the gospel has already gone into all the world for a witness. But see, if you recall, Jesus made a statement. He said, when this gospel of the kingdom, and see, there is a difference in that. You find in the book of Revelation, it speaks of the everlasting gospel. And there is a lot of references in the Bible to the different gospels. Paul even spoke of somebody coming unto you with another gospel. But this gospel that Jesus spoke of, he referred to it as the gospel of the kingdom. When this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. And I believe it. I believe it. If he said that the end of the world is coming, I believe it's coming. I don't believe that Jesus ever told a lie at any time. I believe that if he said there is an appointed day for the end of the world or for the termination of the world system, I believe exactly what he said. I believe that it's coming. Now, I believe that we misinterpret. And a lot of times preachers misrepresent the teachings of the gospel. And when we say the end of the world, most people think about the earth just passing away. And that the Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away. And they termed that as being the end of the world. But Jesus, the way that Jesus was teaching the gospel, he was speaking of a system of the world that would terminate, and that at the terminal of that, that then there would come in another government that would take over and rule the world. He called it the gospel of the kingdom. That is, when you say gospel, you say truth. When you speak of truth, that means you are talking about some kind of excitation, some kind of knowledge, or some kind of expression. You are speaking of some kind of indoctrination, like the Monroe Doctrine it's referred to, you know, in the government. You remember the President Monroe? Now, the gospel, you're speaking of a doctrine. The Bible asks the question, who can I teach doctrine? Who can I teach doctrine? And then the Bible says concerning the apostolic teachings that they should continue in the doctrine. Paul refers to it as continuing in the doctrine. So then, when you're speaking of the gospel, you are speaking of words. You're speaking of expressions. You're speaking of knowledge. You're speaking of a constitution, a godly constitution, something that God Himself has given, words of expression, understanding and knowledge and reasoning that God hath given into the hearts of mankind, that is called the gospel. The Spirit of truth has given the gospel. So you're speaking of a government of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, a day of the declaration of the knowledge of God that has to do with the establishing of His kingdom in the earth. All right, so then Jesus here, it is stated concerning Him that He was preaching. How many know Jesus was a preacher of righteousness? Said, and He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It's that form of government. What kind of government? Power. The Bible said He gave unto His disciples power. And what is the gospel of the kingdom? Paul said it's not in word, but it is in power. Even though the Bible said never man spake like this man, for his words were with power and with authority. So then it is a word of power, and it is a word of authority. The gospel of the kingdom is a doctrine. It is an expression. It is a government. But it is a gospel word of power and authority. It is a spiritual word of power and of authority. The Bible said He commanded the unclean spirits, and they obeyed Him. The Bible said, and He sent His word and healed them. It was by the word, the gospel, the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. His word was the power of healing. It was by His word that He spoke the world into existence. It was by His word, or that is by His word, the Bible tells us, that He upholds all things in the earth by His word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word still is God, the same to every generation. God, the Word, the spiritual Word that might have been presented to mine intelligence, your intelligence, through the medium of a printed page, but God is not a printed page. You understand what I'm saying? God is not a printed page. When I lift up this Bible, this isn't God. This is a printed page. God is a spiritual word. In the beginning, there was no printed page, as we know. But in the beginning was God the Spirit, God the Word, and God the Word came down. God the Spirit made Himself a human body, and thus the Word became flesh. So the Word became a printed page. The Word has become an expression. The Word has become a sound. In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. Now we've got a message here that we speak about. We go back beyond the beginning. You know, when we say in the beginning, a lot of times we misunderstand. And we say, well, if we don't understand saying in the beginning, then let's go back beyond the beginning. Because there is a beyond the beginning. See, in the beginning, we know that heaven and earth was created. In the beginning, there was a word expression. And the first thing that came forth was a sound that said, let there be. That was the beginning right there. See, with you and I, as I've said so many times, we have a beginning. If we have a beginning, then we've got to have an end. Have you agreed to that? Everything that's got a beginning must have an end. Anything that has a beginning has to have an end. But with God, there is no beginning with God. God was, God is, God forever shall be. And there is no beginning with God. So when we say in the beginning was God, that doesn't mean in the beginning of God. It just means that in the beginning. What does Genesis mean? The beginning. See, in the beginning. That is in Genesis. In the beginning. God spoke to Moses on the great mount that smoked and trembled and shook with fire. God spoke to him and God told him to write. And he wrote the book of Genesis. And what did he write about? The beginning. He wrote about the beginning. There was no book of Genesis. There was no understanding beyond Egypt. There was nothing. But then as Moses wrote, God gave him a record of Adam and Eve. And thus the beginning came into existence. So then in the beginning, who started that beginning? As far as you and I are concerned, Moses. That's why the Jews today say God spoke to Moses. Jesus, we don't know about that, but we do know he spoke to Moses. See, because Moses represented the Father. There was no beginning except by Moses. So then to us, Moses was the beginning. There was no other beginning but Moses. We don't have any record except what Moses said about it. And Moses excelled human beings, excelled education, and excelled human ability. Went up into the Mount of God, way up into the Mount of God, into the heavenly places. And he became the beginning. Now, as far as human intelligence is concerned. But if we are to accept the indoctrination of Moses, then we've got to realize that somewhere, someplace back there, there was a beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God in the beginning. And that Word said, let there be, and there was. Amen. But if we go back beyond the Word, that is the natural sound, the natural utterance, the natural Word. If we go back beyond that, there is a spiritual life. Hallelujah. A spiritual fountain, God Himself, beyond the beginning. God who hath no beginning. God who never has had a beginning. And God who doesn't have any end. Now, you know, that's a real subject right there when you talk about that. We get together, you know, and we split theological hair, as we say, and especially in seminary they do that, on what is inspired and what is not inspired. That is, what is really the Spirit giving its utterance and what is not. But you know, their subject has a beginning and their subject has an end. But now we're talking about something that doesn't have a beginning and cannot have an end. Now, I didn't have a beginning. I'm not planning to have an end. I don't know what your plans are. But see, I didn't have a beginning, so I'm not going to have an end. All right. Now, I am from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world ever was, I am. After the world passes on, I'll still be here. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, say, how in the world could that ever be, Brother Pike? I'm going to let you figure that out. Now, if you get all the professors together and all the educators together, and then when you get it figured out, we can write a book about it and everybody will know. But in the event that you don't get it figured out, then you can come back and you can take God's word for it that we are elect according to His foreknowledge, and that we are His body, and that we are His blood, and we are His bone, and we are His life, and it's not I that liveth, but Christ. And I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the restitution of all things, that He was, He is, and forever shall be. And whatever He is, so am I in Him. All right. Now, like it was said of John, Jesus sent John preaching. I want you to look at this and examine it now. Here comes John. He's preaching. He's preaching a gospel. But here he comes preaching. And John said, we have handled the light. Said, I come to bear witness of the light. But I'm not the light, he said. I only came to bear witness of the light. Are you listening now? Is it all right if I talk to you a little bit? All right, now. I am not that light, John said, but I came to bear witness of that light. And then all of a sudden, here the light steps on the scene. But I don't testify as did John. I don't say that I'm not that light, that I came to bear witness of that light. But I say that I am that light. He bore witness of me. Now see, so we testify different from John. That's why the Bible said, never man spake like this man, for his words are with power. Now, remember, whatever we preach, whatever we say, whatever we hear, We cannot accept it. If we are to found it upon our intellectual reasoning or upon somebody's expression or according to some preacher or grandma or whatever, we can't do it. Everything that we say, we must found it upon the Scripture. Is that right? But listen, we are so sure that we know when we don't know a lot of times. We are so sure that we understand when we don't understand. And we condemn the voice of God, we condemn righteousness, and we frustrate people because we think we know. But we need to know. The Bible said it would not have you ignorant. We have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. We need to know. So then whatever we are that in Him. Now you say, Brother Pike, can you actually say that you're the light? Whatever He is, so am I in Him. The Bible said He was the light of the world. But He went farther than that. While I am in the world, I am the light. John, you can't say that you're the light. But He said, I am that light that you bore witness of. But, Brother Pike, I'm going away and then you will be that light. You will be the light of the world. So I bear witness that I'm that light tonight. We are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh tonight. We are filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. We radiate tonight. We've got oil in our vessel tonight. Because we are the light of the world. We are that light that all men may see our light. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and then glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right. Now, the Bible said they could not lay hold on His words. For never a man spake like that man. See, there is a difference. The Bible said that God did something there. Now let's look at it for just a minute. When we go back beyond the beginning, then look what a subject. God. Then to show you how great it is, we think on God for a few minutes. How old is God? How old is God? You know, scientists say the world's a few billion years old. And they really look like they strained a vessel, you know, to get back that far. You know, they do. They run back a million and another million. And then they get back a billion or two. And then they think they've really strained the muscle, so to speak, you know, and they really got back there. But see, when you go back a few billion years to God, that's no more than the babies playing with marbles. But we can say 10 billion, 20 billion, 30 billion, 40 billion, 100 billion, 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 billion. And then, where was God? You still got to go back a few more billions and billions and billions and billions. And then when you get back there, where was God? You still got to go back a few more billions and billions and billions and billions. And then when you get back there, where was God? So you still haven't got started on your journey yet. So see, scientists is nothing but just a bunch of foolishness. That's all it is. Now there was no beginning with God. If there was no beginning with God, then there's no end with God. How long is God going to be here? Well, we say if He's been here for many billions, then how long is He going to be here? See, we're talking about something, folks. We're not talking about some little puny fellow that calls himself a president or a king or somebody that sits on the stack of a polished bone. We're talking about God. God, even God, from everlasting to everlasting. You know, I don't know whether you ever do this or not, but I really do. It gets a hold to me sometimes. I was telling Bill the other day, I get so tore up till I pray. I say, oh God, forgive me for being in existence. That's the way I pray. I say, you just have to forgive me. I'm so unworthy. I'm so much of a nothing. You'll have to forgive me for my existence, God. To think that I even exist in your presence seems so unfair. What am I, oh God, that you're mindful of me, David said. My, to think that I would even exist in His presence. I owe Him an apology. That's right. Only in the blood of Jesus, only in the life of Christ, can I find myself being justified to dwell in His presence. Otherwise, I owe him an apology for even being in his presence, for even existing in his world. But I love him, don't you? The Bible teaches that he loves us. It teaches that he loves us. He is so great, so mighty, talking about God. How wonderful God is. And to think that we are nothing except in him. Now, I say this again. If the Lord says there is going to be a termination, a terminal point for mankind, then I believe that things is going to wind up. They got a little song they sing, time is winding, time is winding up. I believe that time is winding up. It's my conviction that time is winding up. You agree to that? Time is winding up. Now, I am persuaded to believe, as I said the other night, that if we do not know anything about time, we shouldn't try to discuss it. It's for sure that nobody is going to come from anywhere and declare time to be no more unless they know what time is and they understand what time is. For how could you declare something to be no more if you don't even know what it is? And you don't know where it started. And you don't know where it's going to end. How could you say anything about it? See, if you're not an authority on something, how are you going to discuss it? So then, we know that time is winding up. We know that we can go back beyond the beginning. Now, so you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Go back beyond the beginning. To go back beyond the beginning means that we go back beyond time. Are you listening now? To go back beyond the beginning means that I've got to get back beyond time. Because what beginning means is the start of time. The origin of time. The place where everything started. The wheel started to turning. Isn't that right? Is that right? Praise God. Back beyond the beginning. We have to go way back to get beyond the beginning. But when we do that, then we are beyond the beginning of time. Now you couldn't do that, could you? Not unless you're what I am. I can go back beyond the beginning because I was before the beginning. If you was not before the beginning, you can't go beyond the beginning. But every person that was beyond the beginning can go beyond the beginning. Because they were before the world ever was. Jesus testified and said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had before with thee before the world ever was. That is before the beginning. For in the beginning God said, let there be a world, and there was a world. But if we had joy with him before the world ever was, then we transcend the barriers of time, Jim. We go back beyond the beginning. What does the Bible use the terms? Job, and where was you? You know, before the world ever was. Before I laid the foundations of the earth. When the sons of God leaped for joy. Amen. Where was you at that time? Hallelujah. That makes me feel good. Somebody say, where was you, Brother Pike? I was with God. Before the world ever was, I was with God. I was. Somebody said, I was there in the beginning. I was there before the beginning. Now, I said, now where do you get that? One day God said, come on, let us make man. So we all got together and that's what we done. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Before there ever was a man, before there ever was a beginning, God called on me. Hallelujah. Called on me and he said, come and let us make man. In our own image. Hallelujah. Why is that? As he is, so am I in he. Or in him. And what is he? He said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. Now, when God got ready to make something, what did he do? He called on me. Hallelujah. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Hallelujah. And the Bible said all things were made by him. And without him was there nothing made that was made. In him all things consist. And he is the head of all things. As he is, so am I in he. Somebody said, now you just wait just a minute, preacher. If you don't watch out, you're going to be making yourself equal with God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be equal with their master. Somebody say, I love Jesus. No man shall be above his master, but everyone that be perfect shall be equal with his master. Now, somebody said, now that brings on another question. Everyone that be perfect. And the Bible said, and God hath perfected me forever. Why do you say me, Brother Pike? And God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And who are them that are sanctified? The believers. And who are you and I, a believer in God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's go a little farther. Hallelujah. Now if we've done all of these things and enjoyed all of these things, then we've got something else coming. What is that? We're not going to be satisfied till we sit down in the throne.
Amen.
Amen? Sure. Is there any other place outside of the throne for us? For the Bible said, he that overcometh, he shall sit down in the throne with me. Is that right? So then being his body, being his membership, being his bone and flesh, what are you going to do? Sit down in the throne with God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. What are you talking about, Brother Pike? Going back beyond the beginning. If I was before the world ever was, if I am before the world ever was, then that means that when the world passes away, we'll just keep on ticking. We'll keep on being here. We'll keep on living. We'll keep on going. Why? Because if there was no beginning to me, there is no end to me. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you are a man. But the Bible tells me I'm not a man. He that is born of spirit is spirit. And the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And as he is, so am I in him. So then, it is appointed unto man once to die, as we've so often said, but not unto sons of God. There is no appointment unto sons of God to die. Where is there an appointment unto a son of God to die? There is an appointment for man to die, not the sons of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. Why? Because some are sons of God. Then, what is the difference? What is the difference? We are sons of God. We are not creatures of time. I was before time started. I shall be after time is finished. Then I am not a creature of time. I was not born to time. I'm not of this world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. And I am not in this world. God has chosen me out of this world. And I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received till the restitution. I am not of this world. Jesus said, if you was of the world would love you. For the world loveth its own, but we're not of this world. Therefore the world hateth you, Jesus said. That's why they seek to kill us. Is because we are not of this world. Then why should we lay up treasures in this world? Why should we feud and fuss over preeminence in this world? Why should I try to prove to you who I am and what I am that you should admire me in this world? Why should we do that? Tell me, why should we do that? We are of another world. Jesus said, Peter, who are they taking taxes from? Are they doing it from their own people, or are they doing it from strangers? Peter said, strangers. So then we confess that we are pilgrims. We are strangers. We are in search of a city. What city? The one that hath foundation. And what city is that? The one whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Great, beautiful city. This world doesn't have a foundation. Mars doesn't have a foundation. The sun doesn't have a foundation. The stars of heaven shall fall. They don't have a foundation. The world shall pass away. But the Bible said this city had foundations. And the foundations of that city was the teachings of the 12 apostolic leaders. Is that right? And John saw that city and he said, and in that city I saw 12 foundations. And he said, and in those foundations I saw the names of the 12 apostles. Is that right? Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of that city. So then, who are we? Why, we couldn't be but one. That's all we could be. And who is that? Who is that? It is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth. Is that right? The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. For it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I don't have my mind, I have the mind of Christ. It's not me speaking, but God speaking from within. I'm the temple of God. The Holy Ghost speaks from within me. The voice of God in the earth. Now, so then if that be so, then that means I'm no more in the world, Jesus said. You are still in the world. But I am no more in the world. I came from the Father. I go back to the Father. I'm no more in the world. And he testified that ye shall see me, but the world shall not see me. Now, we are no more in the world. How is it that we are no more in the world? Jesus said, I'm no more in the world. How is it, Lord, that you're no more in the world? I go back to where I came from. Where did you come from? I come from the Spirit. I go back to the Spirit. I am born to the Spirit. How can you then say that you're no longer in the world, Brother Pine? Because as he is, so am I in him. You're not of this world. You're no more in this world. Then where am I? Hid with God in Christ whom the heavens have received. Until the time of the restitution of all things. So then, I am with him. I am of him. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me and my Father. Even as I have overcome and sat down in the throne. Why is this? Because me and my Father are one, Jesus said. We are one. We are one. For it is no more I that liveth, but my Father that speaketh. It is my Father. So then, whatever we do in life, it is our Heavenly Father. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, according to your preaching tonight, that means all of us are like that. There's one thing for sure, you didn't understand my preaching. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall have this inheritance. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, it is those that have been born again of the Holy Spirit, and those that have been born again of the blood atonement, and those that have followed him, been filled with his Spirit. These are they of which I speak tonight. They are as he is, and whatever he is, so are they in him. They was, they are, and forever shall be. They had no beginning, therefore they shall have no end. They are sons and daughters of the living God. Before the beginning, there was God. After the beginning, or after the end, than God. Now we got just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. Let's talk just a minute or two more. What is the beginning? Let's just take a few more words on it and we'll let you go. What is the beginning? Now, what has happened to cause all of this? What is the beginning? What is the beginning? Time. Time is the beginning. And how did time start? How did time get started? By the carnal mind. When Eve sinned against God, Satan, the spirit that God had rejected, darkness, entered into a human being. And from that time on, that mental capacity began to comprehend darkness. Whereas before, it had never comprehended darkness. It had always been in the light of God, in the Shekinah glory of God. But from that time on, when darkness entered into the mind, Satan entered into the thoughts, darkness and death entered into the bloodstream, from that time on, there was night. And when there is a night and a day, then you've got time. As long as there's just day, you don't have any time. You understand? If there was just darkness, there would be no time. But when you've got day and when you've got night, then you've got time element involved. And so then when the Shekinah glory of God went down in Eve's life, up came darkness. And God said, I'll reckon the first day from evening till morning. And it started. Is that right? It started. Time set in. Everything was set in. That it might get started at the very time that she fell away from God. And from that time on, it's been darkness. And there is the daylight. And there is the nighttime. And there is the daylight. And there is the nighttime. And time continues on. It's like when Joshua came on the scene and he made the sun stand still. And all, for many hours, there was no night. There was no night. Whereas the Bible said concerning the city with foundations, and in that city there shall be no darkness. For the Bible said the gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night in that city. What is that city? And the Bible said, I shall remember you, saith the Lord, when I come to make up my jewels. Isn't that right? I will remember you, saith the Lord, when I come to make up my jewels. And John saw New Jerusalem, adorned as a bride for her husband, coming down out of the heavens. Beautiful jewels coming down out of heaven. A beautiful bride for her husband. Out of the Spirit. Out of the Spirit. Spirit came for something that had never been seen before. Eyes had never beheld it before. But out of the Spirit, out of heaven, there came for something. What was it? New Jerusalem, the great city of God. The city whose builder and maker is God. You follow me? All right. Now, coming down out of heaven, a city of jewels. And what are we? Jewels. I will remember you when I make up my jewels. And what about that city? There is no night in that city. And what about these jewels? When that light, when that darkness, when that spirit got started in Eve, then came darkness. But we are rare jewels of light. Inside of you, as a human being, there is a darkness. You go to sleep. There is a daylight. You wake up. But why is that? Because there is a spiritual darkness and there is a spiritual day. That's why God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. There is a spiritual darkness. There is a spiritual day. And as long as you're thinking in terms of carnality, of eating and drinking and buying, getting gain and buying houses and lands and all of these other things, you are walking in darkness. And the Bible said you are drunk in the darkness. But then when you get into the mind of Christ and you think about winning souls and doing something for God, you walk not in the flesh or in the lust of the flesh. Then you walk in the Spirit. Then you walk in the Spirit. Isn't that right? You walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So then we are children of the day, not of the night, but of the day.
Amen.
That time of God should not come upon us unaware. For we are children of the light. We are the light of that city. And the Bible said the Lamb is the light of that city. It hath no need for the night, for the Lamb is the light of that city thereof. Now, so then, if we are the light, then there is no darkness in us. But till we're born again, till we can comprehend the redemption of the body, there is a darkness, there is a daylight, there is a darkness, there is a daylight that's going to sleep, that's waking up. There's death, there's resurrection. Which means that you and I, we have to come to a place to where we develop the mind of Christ and to where it is completed in us and we know no more in part, and that which is perfect within us has come, and from that time on we have no more darkness in us. Jesus said the prince of darkness cometh, the prince of this world cometh, but he doesn't have any part in me. And the Bible said, if there's no part within you dark, then all of you is light. There's not one speck of darkness in me, Jesus said. I am the light of the world. So then, when we come to the mind of Christ, there is no more darkness. There is no more darkness. When we come to the mind of Christ, darkness is gone. We are then children of the day. What does that mean that we are children of the day? I am no more a child of death. I am not abiding in death. Jesus said you are dead, twice dead, some folks are, and plucked up by the roots. But he said you're not children of death, but children of life. People who live in this world are children of death. They're dying, ever dying, because they're time creatures. And today they're 10 years old, and the next while they're 15 years old, and the next while they're 25, and the next while they're 35, and on. And soon they're 70 and 80 because they are children of death, children of time. They are under the control of time elements. They die. They're born to die. But I'm born to live. I'm not born to die, but born to live. I am a child of life, not a child of death. So then I am born to live. I am a child of the resurrection. He is the first fruits of them that slept. As he is, so am I in him. I am born the child of the resurrection. I am a child of the day. We're not children of the night, but children of the life. Not children of death, not children of darkness. I'm not asleep. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Why is it we shall not all sleep? Because we all are not the children of sleep. Everyone is not the child of sleep. Some of us are children of the day. We don't need to sleep. So then we are children of life. What does that mean? That means that we have transcended the barriers of time. If we have transcended the barriers of time, then where is night and day? Where is night and day? Like the astronauts, they get way up above the world. They look back and they see the end of the world. And they say, there it is, the end of the world. At last it's there. And up, up, up they go. And finally they get into the presence of the sun. And when they get into the presence of the sun, then where is night? That's for the little globe back there. They look and see it. There it is. I see it falling. Falling all over the globe there. But I'm not children of night. I'm children of the day. I'm way up here in the heavens. You understand what I'm saying? So then we transcend the barriers of time, the gravitational powers of death. We go up, 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 like in my vision when I picked you up and took you way up into the heavens. Going up into the mind of Christ, up to the throne of God. Getting out of this world, coming out of the old tombs of this bodily dust of skin worms and confusion. Going up. Hallelujah. All right, then, what does the angel of Revelation 10 mean? How is it he can say what he says? Why does he come like he does? Because he sets one foot on the land and he sets one foot on the sea. And who is he and what is he doing? And what does he mean making a statement like he made? See, who was it that bridged the thing over from earth to heaven? Who is it that tied them together? Who is it that stood between heaven and earth and banished the middle wall of partition and took away the darkness? What causes the darkness? Isn't it true that when clouds get between you and the light, that that's darkness? Isn't it true that when the light is hid from you by that middle wall of partition, as the old bodily earth turns around and puts you on the other side? Isn't that what causes darkness? But if we are not children of the night, then that means the flesh is gone. Jesus smote it at Calvary, took it away. It's laid away. There is no more middle wall of partition. Isn't the law, Paul said, the power of enmity, our carnal reasoning? Isn't that death to be carnally minded? But I have the mind of Christ. I'm not carnally minded. I'm born to the Spirit. And the middle wall of partition is taken away. It's gone. The law with the keeping of ordinances, Paul said, the middle wall of partition. That which brought darkness on me, that mind of Eve over there that caused the trouble. Satan got in through the violation of God's word, which is his law. But grace done away with that. Thus grace is fulfilled in my life. Love, that which is perfect, is come in my heart. And that which is in part is done away with. And the darkness is gone. Paul said it now, and John said it is past, children. It is past. Then nothing can hurt you anymore. And in what place is that to cross over the Jordan, over the carnal mind, to have faith in God's word, to believe that what God said in his word is right? We have passed from darkness unto light. We have passed from darkness unto light, from death unto life. We have passed over. So then who was he that hanged between heaven and earth? Who was he that had one foot in the spirit and one foot in the natural? Who was he with one foot on the water, one foot on the land? Who was he that was able to raise his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more? What was time? Who was he? How did he know? What was he talking about? That time should be no more. How could he say that? Because he knew what time was. He knew where it came from. He knew what it was doing and when it did run its course. He knew the purpose of it. He knew the termination of it. So he could hang there as an authority between heaven and earth, bleeding and calling upon God and saying with the voice of God, swearing by him that live forever and ever, that time should be no more. What did it have to do with? The transcending of the barriers of time. Going up into the heavens. As you have seen me go, so shall you see me come again. So then, in that time element, in that time, that little cycle, that little period, that little in between, that middle wall of petition that comes from the garden and lasts over till Revelation 19, coming on over to the millennium. That little middle wall of petition, that spirit of Satan, that death, that shatter, that fell between God and his people. That little thing that's called time. It's been swallowed up. For with God's people there is no time. That's just a shatter. For a moment, God said, I have forsaken thee, but I shall gather thee with everlasting joy, kindness. For a moment I've hid my face as I look at you, Jesus, because I cannot look at sin. But I will gather you with my loving arms. For I've engraved you upon the palms of my hands that I should not forget you, never forsake you. So then that little space called time, that little curtain, that little dark iron curtain, that little middle wall of partition, it's gone. For with the brightness of his coming, it is expelled. And with the mind of Christ, it dissolves into nothing. For the heavens being on fire, the brightness of the fire, and the elements shall be dissolved. So then, with the brightness of His coming, where is time? Where is death? Where is the shadow? Where is the figment of human imagination? Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Then where is human reasoning? Lean not to thine own understanding, for it's carnal and it's death. For to be carnally minded is death, but lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So then, what do we say? In time shall be no more. Why? Why? Because we're not creatures of time. We're not children of time. We're not children of darkness. We're not children of death. But we are children of light. We are children of life. Therefore, Jesus said, He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he hath passed from time unto life, from death unto life. He hath passed over the barriers, because he shall never come into condemnation. Never. For therefore, there is no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that we are in the Spirit, then the Bible teaches that we are hid with Christ in God. Now, so then, there is no such thing as being children of this world. They are children of the world, which is darkness and time. We are not children of the world. We are children of light. We are in His presence. And we are born of God. Are you born of God? If you are born of God, how could you be anything but God? Do you believe that? And what is God? He's the great light. And if God is the great light, then where is the darkness? Darkness and light hath no fellowship. Wherever the sunshine comes, the shadows cannot stay. Do you agree? I want you to stand with me. Glad to have a chance to talk with you just a little bit. We see then our calling, Paul said, the high calling in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? The high calling. What is the high calling? He said it was Christ Jesus. It's being part of the body in Christ Jesus, being the membership. Baptizing the membership by one Spirit, all to that glorious unity. So then we are thankful tonight to be a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a man, then, we are nothing. We are a failure. We have to apologize even for our unworthy existence. Isn't that right? But in Him, who are we? As He is, so are we in Him. Lest you believe that I am Him, or He, Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. Therefore, who is it speaking? It is not man, but God. For the Bible said, it shall not be him that speak, but God that speaketh from within him. For we are the temple of God, and God is within his temple. And John saw the tabernacle of the temple of God in the earth. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent, for God, the eternal Spirit, is in his temple. He tabernacles in the body of Jesus. How many believe that Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, tabernacled in the body of Jesus when he was here? How do you believe that you're the body of Jesus? Let me see your hand. How do you believe that the Holy Spirit or God tabernacles in you as the body of Jesus? We stand in His stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled to Him, for we are a holy priesthood that's praying and interceding for the people. Pray that God may grant repentance unto those that are without. That's the intercession that we make for those that are without, that God may spare them, even your loved ones, that God may reach them. The only way that He can reach them is through your intercessory. So then you see your great calling in God. Every person that is a child of God is a great priest. For He hath made us unto our God priests and kings. And we must intercede for them that are without. Intercede for them that are without. A man and his wife is one. Isn't that right? Do you believe that we're the body of Christ? Then that makes us one with Him, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Isn't that right? Here we are a shepherd, and when He, the true shepherd, shall appear, He shall give us a crown that fadeth not away if we are faithful. So let's dispatch our duty unto God as one that loves Him, for it is required of a steward that he should be faithful. I believe with all my heart that the feathers have been put together. The vision we had, relate right hurriedly. It's strange that Jim would put it on this week. I was coming the other day from somewheres, and I was thinking on the vision. And it come to me, this is the time that the vision of the feathers should be on the radio. I didn't mention anything to Jimmy, didn't even indicate anything like that. And we walked up into the recording room here the following day, or the same day. It was the same day, I believe. Yes, it was the same day, because I was coming from the restaurant. We'd been over the restaurant. I come back that evening, and Jimmy was making the tape. And Jimmy said, "Let me let you hear something." He had his earphones on. When I heard it, it really startled me to some extent, because I said, "Jimmy," I said, "that's the vision about the feathers." He said, "I know, it goes on this week." And in the vision, how many of you remember the vision of the feathers? Do any of you remember it? In the vision of the feathers, I was in the little place called Ensign, lifting up an ensign to the people. Across from a friend's house that I played with as a boy, his name was Stuart. That's where the feathers was in that house. A girl was sitting at the desk there with him. Stuart, I said, "Why Stuart, Lord?" He said, "A Stuart of the mysteries." And the feathers lined up and cataloged. I said, "Why are they so beautifully, perfectly cataloged?" He said, "His quotes." I said, "Why feathers?" He said, "Because a pen is a quill. It is writings that has been cataloged. And it has to do with Brother Branham's teachings. It has to do with America, the Eagle Nation. It has to do with the gospel and the end of time." I'd had the vision down in Florida where I'd seen the pillars. You remember what I said about it, and this vision was in connection with it. And so I was across the street where Brother Quick had his little trailer. At the quickening of the Spirit, a moment in the twinkling of an eye, the rapture. And here in that house, I was putting together the feathers. And I put together the feathers. But when the girl gave me the feathers, she said, "The brethren isn't going to like this." I said, "I know they're not going to like it, but I want them anyway. I'm going to put them together." And then when I put them together, I really had myself a time. And I hollered, screamed, and I said, "You see, you see, you see. They can be put together." And I did put them together. And so it is. They're put together. It makes sense. Line upon line and precept upon precept. And what does that mean? In the vision, it meant the rapture. Hallelujah. So then my vision was in the catching up and going to safety. That was what the Lord was telling us. So then what we need to do is really consider. You know, right at this time, a lot of us, we don't keep up with things. The newspapers are in the spirit. The Bible said, "Children of the carnal reasoning, which is darkness, they think everything's the same." So it is continued on as when the fathers fell asleep. There isn't anything happened. They figure everything's going on fine. Let's make another million. Got plenty of time. But you know, they just brought me an article the other night. And the article in the paper stated that the leading Chinese communist leader, the leading one, is planning to come to America. And out of all places that he's planning, it's not definite yet, but out of all the places he's planning to stop, it's Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia. Now, they have also asked America to fortify their stronghold by way of Navy and whatever against Russia. Now, why do they do that? Because they know that Russia, they know what a double cross is. And they pulled a double cross. Isn't that right? Communists double crosses communists. So that America can become communist. And with China, they can stand against the world. I said, that's why Jimmy Carter did it. That's why Jimmy Carter did it. I also made the statement, you just watch and see. Ronald Reagan's will pop up in the picture, and it'll have to do with the creature and with the coming in of Antichrist, and just watch and see. More is in the makings right now. And it's going to cause problems because his outlook isn't going to be like Jimmy's. It's going to be different. And when they get China caught in the middle, you're going to see some fireworks. Now you just watch and see. Now China's pulled a double cross on Russia. But you let China just sense one little bit of a double cross from America and her caught in the middle, and you watch the sparks begin to fly. Now you just watch and see. So then, there's something on the way. And everybody in America don't feel the way that Jimmy does. Everybody don't feel that way. Everybody in America isn't favoring communist government. Well, there's a lot we could say there, but we're not going to preach the second sermon and become a news commentator. I just want to say a few things. It's quite a number of other things I'd like to add, but we'll let it go for tonight. Let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate your attention. I really don't feel that I hold you so awful long. I guess to you, you feel like I do, but tonight I've been a little more lengthy as a rule than I usually am. But I was just reading, I believe it was today, where Brother Roberts, when he preached an hour and 40 minutes at least, I believe it was. And of course, that's a short sermon. Because Brother Marlowe told me he preached 5 hours before he got through. And of course, this Brother Branham preached, I believe it was 5 hours or longer. He preached all morning, dismissed, and went home and eat breakfast or dinner. Came back and he said, I finished my sermon in the afternoon. He came back and he took the rest of the hours of the afternoon to finish his sermon. And then with still short sermons, because Paul preached all night long. And so that makes my sermon a short sermon. But if we ever learn anything, folks, we're going to have to take a little time to be holy. The Bible said take time to be holy. That's why I'm so reluctant to try to explain anything, because I know even before I got through preaching then, before I hardly had gotten into the time subject part, I felt your interest dwindle away, and I saw numbers of people that done started looking around here and there and gone like that. But I decided to go ahead and press on whether you was listening or not. I know there's a few that wanted it. And it goes on the radio to millions of people. And they want it. Whether some of you do or not, they want it. So I just press on sometimes and go on anyway. Though your disinterest could kill the inspiration in the sense of causing it to take its flight. But I just beg God to help me so that I can reach the people. Be ashamed, folks. Be ashamed now while you have time, because someday you're going to be greatly ashamed. You didn't have time for Jesus, and he isn't going to have time for you. To be carnally minded, that is, to think anywhere but on Christ and on the things of God. To let your mind drift off anywhere is to be carnally minded. That's death. That's the enemy of the anointing. That's the fugitive from justice. That's the one that killed Jesus. That's the same one. The one that's empowered by the carnal mind is Satan. That's the same mind that is enmity with his mind in service, which is his voice and anointing. Let's sing this little chorus together. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Can you sing it with me? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him?
today, oh, don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Can you sing it again? For without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. And without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? Oh, don't turn him my way. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Can't you feel Jesus' Spirit? Over. Can't you feel His Spirit tonight? Oh, my soul, and rest is complete as I kneel at His feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it again, will you? Don't you feel Jesus? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. While they're playing this, I wonder tonight if you would like to step down to the altar and give God a chance to sweep over your soul and give God a chance to strengthen you. You know, I believe that this very year that everything will be set in battle array for the end of the world. I really believe that. I made the statement a few days ago. I said this very year, I believe that everything will be set up this very year to destroy the world. And that the coming of the year 80 is going to be that move to bring in the Antichrist. I believe that. I believe everything is just right for it. I believe that this year will set the stages just right to bring him in. And remember, China is already fortifying her positions, already sending out troops. When they cry peace, then sudden destruction. Something is about to take place. This year is going to be a moving year. It's going to be a dreadful, fearful time this year. Everything is going to be shaky. Just like sitting on a powder keg. Real shaky this year. And anything can happen between now and 80.
But you can be sure that this very year, somebody's going to make their move. You watch what I'm telling you. Somebody this year is going to make their move among the nations. They're not going to sit still. They're going to make their move. They've got to. They've got to. Everything is so close, they've got to. There's nothing else they can do. They can't wait it out another year. Something's got to take place. So that means that you and I need to fortify our hearts in God. If you're planning to do anything for God, friend, fast, pray, whatever, study, get away with God, do something, then I tell you what, you'd better be tuning up and getting in tune with God, because we're right at that very hour when the crisis is coming. And you know what? One thing you need to remember, and that is that if you don't make the rapture, you're going through the tribulation. Everyone that doesn't make the translation is like a dropout in school. You're not going to be there for the graduation. And you're going to have to go through the tribulation. Remember that. Don't feel that the world is just going to be bummed. You know, we get it in our mind, somebody's going to drop the atom bomb and everything's going to go up in a puff of smoke, and that's going to be the end of us, and we're going to wake up on the other side in eternity. But it isn't going to be that way. There is going to be a world left around here for a tribulation period, to where there's going to be suffering and sorrow and locusts and heartaches, and death will be lifted, and it's going to be one of the worst times it's ever been in the history of mankind. And you're going through it if you don't make the rapture. You're going through it if you don't apply yourself to the knowledge of God and come into the knowledge of God. You're going to go through that. I preached a sermon that goes on TV, I believe, this weekend, this Sunday night, called The Knowledge of God. It's not very long, about 22 minutes of it. Briefly enough to let people understand and know what's happening. But you better tune your hearts up with God, because it's coming. It's coming. And if you're not ready, then you're going to miss the rapture. And you're going to be a sorrowful people. Can we sing that again? Can we lift our hands up? Close our eyes. Just lift your hands up and close your eyes. Stop. Think. Meditate. And say, Lord, all of these great businesses, all of these great businessmen, the millionaires, that's eating and enjoying and riding in the big fine automobiles and living in the fine homes, the living plush, won't share their money with the needy, won't share their money with the hungry, won't share their money with the gospel, just putting it into houses, putting it in the land, putting it into conference, convenience, piling it up, and plans and more plans, got this and that and plan to get more, not concerned about winning souls. Just think, all of them is fixing to go through the tribulation. Like the hogs in a pen, God's fattening them for the kill. Got them on a floored pen, as we would say. Fattening them for the kill. Woe unto those that are at ease in Zion. If you're in the church and you're at ease and you're not travailing for Christ, woe unto you. You'd better get out of that place of comfort. You better get out of that little nest of being feathered in convenience. You better get out of that nest of just eating and drinking and relaxing, being comfortable, warm in the winter, cool in the summer, riding and buying, getting gain, going through the 10-cent stores and the looking at merchandise and spending your time all day in idleness. And get to praying and get to fasting and get to studying, get to giving, get to the place you surrender your will. Break down your will and equip yourself with a mind to suffer, and start sharing your heart and time and life with God and your substance with God. You'd better do it, folks. You're going through the tribulation if you don't, because all of them out there are going through the tribulation period. It doesn't matter, because they belong to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, the UPC. That doesn't make any difference. God isn't going to call the Baptist, the Methodist, the UPC, the Congregational Holiness. He isn't going to call the church of God or people of little Bethlehem. God's going to call the righteous, the saints of God, wherever they're at. That's the ones he's going to call. I know we got some of them here at little Bethlehem. I hope every one of you makes it. I want to make it myself. I'm trusting every one of you will make it. But at the same time, we got to remember God's no respecter of person. Wherever and in whatever nation, the writer said that men fear God, God is no respecter of person. He'll receive them. Peter opened the doors to the Gentiles. Said, I perceive that God's no respecter of person. Whatever people, and whatever church, and whatever nation, whatever breed, whatever kind, if they call on the name of Jesus, shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then tonight, let's search our hearts and see if we're walking in the light, as He's in the light. You say, Brother Pike, how can I know that I'm walking in the light? The Bible said if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. You're not going to sit at home and not fellowship the sisters. You're not going to sit at home and not fellowship the saints. You're not going to be off making money and busy doing this and that and always too busy to come be with the brotherhood. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren, not in word but in deed, to share and share alike, to be together. And when we withdraw and when we go our own way, we don't have the love of God in us. Let's sing that song again, can we, as we close our eyes and lift our hands together. If you're troubled tonight, Jesus knows. If you've got heartaches tonight, hallelujah, 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 I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus knows. Oh, hallelujah, I feel His mighty anointing. The Bible said the anointing will break the yoke, and I feel God breaking the yoke. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell on them as Peter spake. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling. Hallelujah. I feel the quickening of the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. That mighty Holy Ghost, I feel His presence. I feel Him here tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let Him bless your spirit. Let Him bless you tonight. Let Him feed you with the manna from heaven. That bread that man knows not of. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, but they're all dead. But I give unto you that bread of eternal life. He that eateth of this bread, he shall never die. Hallelujah. For the bread that I give you is my flesh, Jesus said. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And this is the New Testament, he said, of my words of spirit and life. Hallelujah, the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest is complete while I sit at your feet.